بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أحبتي في الله، أحييكم بتحية الإسلام، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله، أدى الأمانة وبلغ الرسالة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده، وتركنا على المحجة البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك. اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. ثم ما بعد. First of all, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gave me this opportunity to address my brothers and sisters with whatever little knowledge I have. And secondly, I thank the brothers who arranged this meeting here, and I thank the people who are in charge of this mosque who allowed me to come and share what I have with them. And really, although when I entered for the first time tonight, I found the mosque as a very nice social place. Everybody's talking to each other. Some others are praying, some others are reading the Quran. So I was a little bit upset. But after a couple of minutes, when the adhan was raised, almost everybody in the mosque was silent, which is really something very, very good, because we get lots of rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by repeating what the muadhin says, and this is golden opportunity. If we just say it with sincere hearts and sincere belief, and you know that this would lead us to paradise, so how many chances we miss if we don't focus to listening. So I hope, inshallah, this habit will continue with every Muslim. Whenever we listen to the adhan, we pay attention to the adhan and we repeat it. And also it would be a step for us to differentiate between the mosque as a place for ibadah. And after I was pleased, just when we finished the prayer, I was displeased again, because people started chatting, and lots of people were doing the sunnah, and lots of others were chatting, and I'm sure that the ones who were chatting were affecting the tranquility of those who were not chatting, who were praying. So let's make an agreement with each other. At least 10 minutes after the prayer, we would keep silent and doing the sunnah, and after that we change the mosque into a place for socialization, and there is nothing wrong with that, inshallah. The topic of tonight is sources of comfort and tranquility at times of calamities and crises. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, close to my area where I live in Virginia, which is Maryland, some areas were hit by some hurricane. Probably you've heard about this, and this is something very strange in that area, but this is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who directs everything in this universe. And what was really saddening my heart is all those interviews that were on the TV when they brought all the people and they interviewed them. They were very much scared, which is a very natural thing for us to be scared when these calamities take place. But what was very strange is that most of them, when they were interviewed, they showed their scare, but none of them mentioned the word God in their interviews. And this really scared me. We live in a country that is full of Christians, and the absence of the word God, or not attributing what is happening to God, to Almighty Allah or to God, is something really scary. I didn't know really whether this was the real response of them or this is the media, because the media sometimes they interview 200 people and they get only 7 or 8 on the TV, to convey the message that the media has. Had it been the case of a media, it would have been an easier thing, at least on my heart. But had it been, this is really the situation of the people, it's really something very striking and very strange. At times of calamities, hurricanes, floods, volcanoes, September 11, whatever calamity or whatever crisis that might take place or that might have taken place, every human being is looking for a source of comfort, because we become afraid and we are scared to death in some situations, and everybody is looking for comfort. When you go to other human beings, you find them as scared as you are. When you go to the Red Cross or the Green Crescent organizations, you would find that they may give you little comfort. However, this is not the comfort that you're looking for. You're looking for something greater than this. For us Muslims, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us by maintaining His words in the Quran as He revealed them. And this is the source of tranquility that every Muslim should know and should go to and should seek refuge in these times of calamities. It's the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tonight, inshallah, I'll hang around two or three verses from the Quran that would really would be an example for us to be guidelines for how to get these types of comfort and tranquility and peace of mind, especially at times of calamity. First, try to imagine just this verse that I'm going to mention now, had it not been mentioned in the Quran. We would be totally in a different situation when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب. Indeed and definitely with the mention of the name of Allah, the hearts get their comfort and tranquility and peace. With the mention of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every time you kick the fear out of your heart and out of your mind. So this is such a beautiful verse in the Quran. Just when you read it and when you apply it in your life, you start getting to rest assured once again and to get yourself back and to be comfortable, alhamdulillah. So this is one of the verses that another verse that's in the Quran that says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قل لن يصيبنا إلا ما كتب الله لنا. Say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to address the Muslims and to tell the Muslims and even the non-Muslims, to tell mankind that whatever happens to us will never happen to us without being prescribed upon us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the thing that Muslims should understand. We escape from the fate of Allah to the fate of Allah. There is no place in the universe to escape from the fate of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I like usually to use the metaphor of safari. You know the safari zoos? Concept of a safari zoo is as such, Jazakallahu khairan. We probably mentioned this before. If you want to slaughter your lecturer, bring cold water for him. So if you don't like your lecturer, bring ice water. So after 5 minutes, he will never be able to continue. So now you know it. How to, yes, Jazakallahu khairan. And I hope that this is not called, at least. The concept of safari zoo is that when they put the animal in cages, small cages, yes, the animal's behavior changed, and after some time, they lost many of their qualities and characteristics, and they became so merciful on animals that they made an open place for them, which is called safari, where animals can go to far places. And they did not, the animals, of course, because they are narrow-minded, yes, they didn't discover that these safaris have some ends and some boundaries and some edges that would prevent them. They imagine that they can go to anywhere in the world because they are animals. They didn't understand this. And I like to use this concept all the time to tell Muslims it's almost the same thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this universe with some limits and with created this earth. So we are on this earth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us in the Quran, أَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ? Where are you going? Where can you go? Where can you hide from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? There's no place to hide from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's no place for us to escape. So in other words, we escape from the fate of Allah to another fate of Allah. We cannot avoid what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed upon us. So this gives us some sort of comfort in our hearts. We not just, whatever happens to us, we just accept it because we know it's by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is another source of comfort. Let me go to a third ayah that says, وَلِلَّهِ جُنُودُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. For Allah, all the soldiers of the heavens and the earth, and of course, what is between them. So starting from the angels, going to the wind, going to the planets that move, going to the sun and the earth, going to everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created is just a tool, a soldier in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah directs it to the direction that He wants, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala utilizes it in the way that He wants to utilize it. And this is something very important. And tonight, inshallah, I'm going to go through some examples that would give us this meaning. And after that, we know that everything happens by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we want to protect ourselves, the only way is to seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One example is fire. All of us know that fire burns. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created fire with this intrinsic quality of it, that it burns things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it like that, with this quality. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it not to burn, He asks it not to burn, and that's it. So it is the intrinsic quality, the sunnah of Allah, to make this created thing called the sun is to burn, and to fire is to burn. So the fire burns. But in some cases, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran at the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam, when the soldiers of Namrud were commanded by Namrud to throw Ibrahim alayhi salam into fire, they did obey Namrud. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just by saying one word, be, and it became. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does things just by saying be, kun fayakun, and it becomes. As simple as this, just by these two letters in English and in Arabic, right? Things change and things happen in this creation. قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمٍ. قلنا يا نار, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first He said قلنا, and here this نا at the end, as you know, refers to plural, right? So this is known in English as the royal plural. It's the plural that does not really refer to a group of people or persons. No, it's used by one person to show power. That's why they call it royal we. We Queen Elizabeth. We King Charles. We King Fahd. They usually use this we to show power and authority. And when you read all these letters, you will find that they sign it by using this we. And this is called royal we. By the way, because the Christians sometimes they try to deceive some Muslims in some areas by saying, you see, God used the word we to refer to himself. And because we is a plural, so this is a reference to the Trinity. Al-Ab, and Al-Ibn, and Al-Ruh Al-Qudus. And of course, if people don't have knowledge of the language, of course, they had some doubts and clouds in their hearts about this issue. So it's very important to know the least amount of the language in order to know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about himself. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْنَا. We said, and this is the place to emphasize that Allah is the one who made it. And Allah is the one who showed his abilities to do it. قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed fire itself directly, as he addresses us, as he addresses the jinn, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses any of his creatures. Allah addressed the fire. قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا. Be cool and gentle and breezy on Ibrahim. So the nar, the fire that burns, is the same fire that does not burn. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks it not to burn, it will not burn. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the sun every day to come from the east. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks it to come from the west, it will come from the west. Are we certain that the come is going to come from the west? Do you have some doubts? Are we sure? Why are you hesitant? Are we sure? Yeah. Alhamdulillah. Yes, I thought that you're not sure. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will command the sun to come from the west. And this will be a sign of the day of judgment. Wallahi, I'll tell you something. There's a brother in Kuwait. And I have never been in Kuwait, by the way. I have never been there. It's a brother in Kuwait who slept a little bit after Asr. And after an hour or so, approximately, he woke up. And he saw the sun is in the west, sitting there. And he thought that the sun is rising. He thought that it's morning. Wallahi, he started crying and yelling. What are you doing? This is the sign of the day of judgment. He told me, cool down. It's Asr time. It's not morning. So the sun is setting. The sun is not rising. Yeah. And this is really a very good sign from the brother that every Muslim should be ready, should be anticipating these moments that will happen about the day of judgment. It's the day that everybody, whether we like it or not, we are waiting for it. We know that it will come, whether we are alive or not alive, and we should be ready for these moments. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just by saying, kun fayakun, and it happens. This is one soldier of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fire, or the sun, or anything else. Let's go to other soldiers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses. Other soldiers is water. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends rain, and this rain changes into flood, and this flood covers any place, any area in the world. Just Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directs the winds, commands the winds to move to the area where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants the rain to come down, and in this way you find a flood happens here, or a hurricane happens here, or something happens there, and there are other places that do not get affected by these hurricanes or these soldiers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another soldier is just a simple soldier. You would never think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would do something like this if you don't have full knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such a thing like fear. You find two people are exposed to a situation, one of them becomes scared and the other one does not. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say, نصرت بالرعب على مشيرة شهر. I got victory above the enemies because of the fear, right, that falls into the heart of the enemy, and I am a month away from them. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he started marching from one place into another with the Muslim soldiers, the Muslim army, when the news reached the enemies 1 month before the army, the Muslim army reached them, they are scared to the degree that they go back and withdraw from the battle. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just sends the fear in the hearts of the enemies, and now you know that the fear is no longer in the hearts of the enemies. And you would ask the question, why is this? I'll just tell you that I heard a lecture, a very nice khutbah of Jum'ah 3 weeks ago, and the Khatib was talking about the reasons why are the Muslims weak now, and he mentioned many factors, and in fact he did not mention the most important factor, which is the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because of our disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we get defeated. Al-Abbas radiallahu anhu, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, used to say, لم ينزل بلاء إلا بذنب. No calamity, no crisis, no tribulation comes down, falls down upon Muslims or upon anything without having sins. In other words, that our sins, our disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the disputes that take place among Muslims, the disunity that continues among Muslims, the issue of racism among Muslims, our not fulfilling our duties towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our all types of sins that some of them we are aware of and some others we are not aware of, are the causes of these calamities that take place to us. And unfortunately, we still don't believe that. We still attribute these things to other materialistic factors, and we don't go back to the true reasons and the real reasons, which is disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is happening to the Muslims all over the world, the 1.3 billion weak Muslims all over the world, is because of the accumulation of our sins together. Your sin added to my sin added to her sin makes piles and mountains of sins. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Abbas ibn Muttalib said, yes, will not raise these calamities without tawbah. Without sincere tawbah and sincere going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and knowing that we are doing sins. The generation of al-Tabi'in, yes, used to talk about themselves as that when some of them who attended, who were present with the first generation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the generation of the companions, used to say that the generation of the companions who attended the generation of the Tabi'in used to say that you are doing things now, you think that they are minor things, and at the time of the Prophet we used to look at them as major sins. This is the generation of al-Tabi'in, the best second generation the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam talks about on the whole earth. The best generation is the generation of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second is the Tabi'in, and the third is Tabi'at Tabi'in. So the companions of the best generation are talking about the second generation of al-Tabi'in, and we are so happy that none of the companions is living with us to tell us about our generation. It would be really a messy situation when we don't see the sins that we do all these types of sins that we are not aware of. And some of them we are aware of, but still we do them. Going back to وَلِلَّهِ جُنُودِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. So fear is one of the soldiers. Look at another soldier, just sleep. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands people to sleep and they sleep. As in the battle of Badr, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the believers were getting ready for the battle and were so tired the following day. And when you are waiting a battle, when you are ready to fight, usually you don't sleep because you are afraid, which is something natural to be afraid of. They couldn't sleep. This Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them discomfort, so they slept. They got this nu'as and they slept. They get up the second day, fresh in the morning, right, whereas the enemies were awake all the night. So this is one of the soldiers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses, yes, to show us that everything in this universe, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses. Second thing is that sleeping happened at the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was in his house, when the people of all the tribes of Mecca, they were plotting against Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to kill him. This was the last final thing that they could do. They tried all the means to deceive Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They could not get rid of him, and this was the only solution to kill Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he was in his house and was surrounded by all those strong men waiting outside. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just wanted to give us, not like the American movies to show people are heroes, just one of those actors would solve the problem and would come out and would kill 200 people, like what happens in the movies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't want to show Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in such a silly way that we hear of those heroes in the movies. So what happened is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just commanded the people who were waiting to kill Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to sleep. And they just slept, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went out of his house safe. Not only that, to prove the ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he took a handful of dust and put it on the head of everyone. Everyone. So when they woke, what's on your head? Oh, look at what is in your head. Look at it. Every one of them had this dust to show as a proof that all of them slept. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam become safe. وَلِلَّهِ جُنُودُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. In the battle of Badr at the same time, yes, you know that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took a handful of sand in his hand and he threw it. And it hit everyone in the army of the kuffar. Every one of them. There was not a single one who was not touched by this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Muhammad, of course Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, but this is a lesson to all of us. وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. Don't think that what you did by throwing this, it affected everyone because of you. No. Of course, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew that it was not him. But this is a lesson for us. See, just a handful, and it touched everyone. Of course, it didn't kill everyone because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't mean it for that. But he said, huh? وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. This is another soldier. Another soldier of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he uses is just changing the hearts. How many times have you experienced this issue? When you want to complain, for example, to someone, to your employer, when you want to go to the boss and you want to complain of someone else, and you go there and you approach him and you want to say something against him, and all of a sudden you find your tongue said something different. Have you ever experienced this? No? وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَحُولُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَقَلْبِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can stand, can be a barrier between you and your heart. Your heart is in the bottom of your body, however, you have no control in it. And you see how smart was Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he used to make and insist on this dua that a lot of us probably would stay long times without using this dua. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلبي على دينك. يا مقلب القلوب, oh you the one who turns and changes the hearts, fix my heart on your religion. Your heart is in your body, but you have no control on it. It's still in your body, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who turns it and changes it in the way that He wants. That's why we always seek guidance and we seek this issue from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to firm our hearts on the truth. How many people would lose their religion at a time? And one of the signs of the day of judgment is before it, yes, is the fitan, the tough fitan, tough tribulations and tests that will happen. And you find some people sleep as Muslims and come get up early in the morning as non-Muslims, or vice versa. Ya مقلب القلوب ثبت قلبي على دينك. Abu Jahl is the one who traced and asked the strong knights of Mecca to follow and trace Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to kill him, and they did obey him because they were waiting for the 100 camels reward from Quraysh. 100 camels mean nowadays 100 BMWs, and I'm sure you know what BMW mean. Yes, you see big smiles because BMW or Mercedes or Lexus in our terminology nowadays. So everybody, yes, it's a very worthwhile, very worthy reward. So they started going, chasing Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he entered that cave with Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And the kuffar, who hired the most expertise at that time, they approached the cave, and the person whom they hired and they paid him for this job told them the traces of the feet of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr ended there. Just if they looked down, they would have seen Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And just Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned the heart of Abu Jahl. He was the one who was chasing to kill him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned his heart, and he started to be a defendant of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Are you stupid? It's impossible that Muhammad would be inside because these caves are full of snakes. He's the one who wanted to kill Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's the same one who said that you are stupid, that it's impossible that he is inside. Just Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned the heart of him. And in this way, they went back, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was pretty close to them. They could have killed him. But this tells us what? This tells us these are some manifestations and examples of the verses in the Quran. وَلِلَّهِ جُنُودُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. What is the implication of this? First, when we read the Quran, it's much better for us to stay some time and to reflect on the verses that we read in order to get this. Because we cannot get this tranquility by just reading a quick reading of the Quran. No. We have to go deeper and reflect and see the mufassirin, what they said. And if we ask ourselves, how many books of tafsir do we have at home, you know the answer. And if we say how many books about computers, you know the answer. Right? Each of us at least has 10 books about computers and softwares at home. But we don't have 10 books of tafsir at home. And we cannot achieve this tranquility and peace of mind without getting the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without knowing the qualities and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a very important lesson. When we read the verses, we should reflect upon them, and we should go deeper in order to understand this. So this is one implication. The second implication, if all these creatures are the soldiers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah can use them in the direction that He wants. The question would come, why doesn't Allah use these soldiers with Muslims nowadays? Very simple question, a very valid logical question to all of us. But the answer is very simple in many verses in the Quran. إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهِ يَنْصُرْكُمْ وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ. If we really, the verse would be read like this, إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهِ. If you support Allah here, the support of Allah is meaning what? Being obedient to Allah and follow the commands of Allah and be away from the prohibitions that Allah imposed upon us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us victory. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم.